Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by De La Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Gentle Beginnings, Empowering Parents in the NICU Through Music Therapy, and features Dr. Friederike Haselbeck in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the editor of the Imagine e-Journal. Welcome to Dr. Friederike Haselbeck. Thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast. Friederike, to start today, I want to ask you a bit about yourself and your connection to early childhood music therapy so that our listener understand where you come from.
I'm located in Zurich in Switzerland. I'm originally from Germany. And I'm a musician, so I studied violin and piano and then music therapy. And I already wrote my master thesis about music therapy with preterm infants. So I developed theoretically how could we work with preterm infants in a more interactive way, because 20 years ago, there was not much going on in that field in Europe. Yeah, and since then, I'm stuck to that field. So I work in neonatal care, in clinical practice, in research. I teach about that topic and I totally love that work. Yes.
Wonderful. And Friederike, this year's topic of Imagine is parent involvement in music therapy. And I think you are the perfect person to speak about this. So why do you think this is important to involve parents in music therapy sessions?
Yeah, I always see the system. So preterm infants have parents. And if I would just do a session with the infant and the parents would not know about it, they could not take it home. So my overall aim in music therapy, in neonatal care, is that I inspire, that I empower the parents, and that they do the music. That is the best way, I think.
Yes, that makes sense. In your experience, Friederike, what are some of the most impactful ways parents can support their child's music therapy journey?
Yeah, so there is not like a golden rule, because I have parents from all over the world, from all backgrounds and social backgrounds. Some parents, when I introduce music therapy to them, they just say, oh, that's great, and they sing along with me. From the first session, more humming than singing, of course, and other parents. And I must say, especially the Swiss ones, they are really shy. So they are shy to sing along. So and then in the first sessions, I do not put any pressure on them. And it's just fine that they relax with the infant, that they breathe into the music, that they are aware of themselves, that they connect to the infant. And then after a while, that they join in singing, or even do not sing with me along, but do it in the evening when I'm gone or when not so many people are.
More in privacy.
Yeah, and that is also totally fine. So, and all the parents start to hum, and they do not have to hum with me along.
Friederike, you have been so long in the field, I'm sure you have a lot of stories to tell. Can you share an example of a memorable moment where parent involvement made a significant difference in a child's progress?
Yeah, I have one very interesting story to tell. It's a long time ago. It was still in a hospital in Germany. And I worked with an opera singer. So she introduced herself as an opera singer of the opera of the city. And of course, she sang for the little baby. However, when she started to sing, the baby was really stressed. And she sang as an opera singer. So she sang like she would be on stage. And it was also for the whole unit, it was too loud. It was almost annoying. And yeah, she also sang a lot. And it took some sessions until she realized that I sing totally differently, that I hum and do not sing like you sing on stage, that I more hum like a mother. So really tender and soft and in close contact. And I just explain to her what I'm doing and why I'm doing that. And then one session, she changed her singing, and she just hummed without vibrato, just a few notes, not even a song. And she started to cry because she was so touched that this is so different. And then she said, "Oh yes, now I'm a mother." And then the baby became very relaxed, and you could see that on the monitor. And that was, yeah, that was therapeutic change. And she was fine then, and the baby was fine as well.
I like that you have chosen this example, Friederike, because we always think those people or those parents who are more musically inclined that they're doing a better job, but that it's really not about the aesthetic and beautiful voice the parents have, but it's more about the connection and relationship they build through the music making with that child, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And so you actually answered already my next question about which challenges you encountered. You actually said two, one about parents wanting to sing along or not, and then the other one of being actually overactive as a mother of providing music to that child. Speaking a little bit more about what you said, you see people from all over the world in Zurich, in Switzerland. So what do you think? Cultural values and traditions, how do they influence the way families engage in music therapy?
There are many ways to speak about that. I mean, first of all, I think singing is a universal language. Lullabies are universal language. So if I cannot speak the language of the family and I show them a lullaby book with pictures of babies and parents, I do not have to explain what's about. Some parents just start to hum. Because they see it and they immediately understand. Because yeah, singing a lullaby for a baby is our cultural heritage in almost every culture. That is the universal thing about that, so that you have lullabies in each culture. And then of course it's very different how the parents feel about singing in general, or even in public, or also how they feel about singing also from a religious perspective. And I have to be very careful not to offend people, not to force them to sing, because for some religions it's not allowed to sing, or it's not allowed for a specific person to sing. These are things you have to take in your mind. And then, for example, when I have people more from the south of Europe, they are used to sing a lot. And then the Swiss or the Germans or the people where I come from, they are more shy. And so you have to be careful not to put pressure on them, and really to find the inner voice of that parents that is sitting in front of you. And of course, not all Germans or all Swiss or all Italian people are the same. So
In terms of the collaboration, I mean, it's clear that you collaborate with the parents to achieve the goals for the client, for the premature infant, but how do you achieve the goals beyond the clinical setting? And I know I'm talking for your songbook and so forth.
yeah, so that is an aim I had already long time ago, and I thought, oh, it would be so good to have some music therapy going on beyond the hospital stay. And I made two songbooks, one for the time during the stay, and the other one is especially for the time when they leave the hospital. Because after this time, I accompanied the families. I had the feeling I want to give them something for the music at home, for to continue. So it's a songbook where I have chosen songs for all these developmental milestones during the first year of life. Most of the parents really continue to use music. I cannot say all the parents because this is something I don't know. However, we did some randomized controlled trial years ago, and a master student of mine, he interviewed the parents at the age of school when they came to school, and all these parents they continued to sing with the infants, or some children even started to play an instrument. So music, they took music home as a huge resource, and I think that is a fantastic goal
Yes,
to
and a
reach.
wonderful project you have initiated. Looking ahead, what do you see as the future of parent involvement in music therapy? Are there any trends or innovations you are particularly excited about?
I think we talk a lot about parent involvement or even family-centered care, also on the medical conferences, so everybody talks about it. However, I think we can improve it in clinical practice much, much more. So in Scandinavia, this is really something I like. So they have rooming in for the parents. The parents really stay in the hospital. And they do almost the whole care of the infant as soon as possible, and the nurses step back very soon. This is something I would love to have on every unit, and also singing. I mean, singing it costs nothing, and we should inform our parents about that without putting pressure on them.
So my final question for you, is there a particular piece of advice or message you would like to share with our listeners about the power of parent involvement in music therapy?
I think to listen to the parents, to get connected to the parents, really to get a feeling what is important for them, where do they come from, to be curious, what do they do with their infant? So, because I observed that other cultures do it totally different. Yeah, and really to play with the parents and the infant. I think this it should be really playful. So infant parent play, and when they are very, very little, like in the NICU, to make space and room for intimacy, for bonding, for to help them to come into parenthood.
Thank you so much, Dr. Friederike Hasselbeck, for sharing your expertise with us today. This was very interesting, informative information coming from you. And I'm going to look forward to also talking with Dr. Kirsi Tuomi tomorrow, who is from Scandinavia, and see what she has to say in terms of what you have just mentioned with looking forward in the future. So thanks so much, Friederike, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2025.